Hello and welcome to the Valley Church Duncan podcast. My name is Wes Lindy and I'm the lead pastor of Valley Church. I'm happy you've joined us today. If you'd like to continue getting our podcast, consider subscribing to our channel. For more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.thevalleychurch.ca. And now let's take you right into the sermon.
Saying, hey, I need your help over here. So I'm a little curious, but also willing to help. So I pull over my vehicle and I park right on the side there and I unroll my window and I ask, is everything okay? What's wrong? And she's kind of looking a little frantic, a little bit worried, and I don't know what's happening. And she's kind of like, I don't know what's happening. I just found like this and I'm kind of confused and I don't know what to do. And I'm like, what do you mean? Slow down, what are we talking about here? And she says, look over there, I have no idea what's going on, I have no idea how long she's been there. And I'm like, what? What do you mean she? And I look over, and there on the sidewalk is just like a bundle of fabric that I look. And I'm so tired, and I'm so sleepy, nothing's registering in my brain. So I get out of my car, and I start walking over, and then I see it move a little bit. Whoa, what's this? And my brain is still tired and kind of foggy and super sleepy and not registering what it is until I get closer and I realize that what I'm looking at on the sidewalk is the oldest, skinniest, most frail-looking lady I've ever seen. And now I'm instantly, my lifeguard mode jumps in and I'm like, okay, this lady needs help. And so I go over to this lady and I kneel down and she's kind of muttering and mumbling and she's in a fetal position on the cold sidewalk in simply like a smallest sleeping gown that she could ever be wearing. And I'm like, we need to get you help. Are you okay? Where are you from? What's going on? And she's kind of mumbling and muttering. And I'm like, okay, at least let's get you off the sidewalk. And she's like, no, don't do that. Don't help me. And I'm like, okay, well, I've got a blanket in my car. How about I go get this blanket? I bring it to you, and then you can be warmer on the sidewalk till we figure it out. She's like, no, don't bring me a blanket. Don't bring me a blanket. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the blanket. I'm like, this is weird. So I look back at the other lady, and she just kind of gives a shrug, and she's like, I don't know how long she's been here. I don't know where she's from. I don't know if she's, like, maybe she's a little bit confused or forgetful, but whatever it is, she obviously needs a bit of help. So I go back to the lady on the sidewalk, and I'm like, okay, how about we call an ambulance? We get some help for you. They'll be able to bring you back to wherever you need. And so I'm trying to figure out solutions for her. And then she gets even more flustered when I say that. She's like, no, don't bring me an ambulance. Don't bring me to the hospital. I don't need the help. And if you bring me to the hospital, then they'll find out what I did. I don't deserve the help. And I'm like, what do you mean? What did you do? And she's gotten more and more frantic. And she's like, I don't need the help. I don't deserve the help. Get out of here, please. They'll find out what I do. The cops will be there and they'll realize that I murdered those two children. And I step back and I'm like, okay, this is wild. This is much more intense than I'm thinking about. And I'm like, is this something that's actually happened? Is she maybe a little bit confused or forgetful or remembering something else entirely? And I go back to the other lady on the sidewalk and I'm like, okay, this is obviously something going on here. And her mouth has just dropped and she's like, we need to get some help here. So I'm like, you call an ambulance. I'm going to go make sure she's okay here. So I go back down to this poor lady and I'm kind of kneeling there. She's muttering and she's mumbling, I don't deserve the help. These things I did, I don't deserve it after all these things I did. And she's just so distraught. And eventually I look at my watch and I'm like, oh, I gotta go to the pool. So I go back to the other lady. I'm like, is help on the way? She's like, yeah, help is on the way. And I'm like, okay, I've got to go to the pool. Are you okay with this? And she's like, yep, I've got it until help comes here. So I get back in my car and I'm driving away and I see they sent an undercover cop for whatever reason all the way around the corner. They come down the road and as I'm driving away, I see that they make their way over there. Now you guys want to know what actually happened? I don't know. I have no idea. I get to the pool and I open the pool up and I tell the lifeguards and they're like, that's a situation you could have stayed with and we wouldn't have cared. But no idea what happened, where this lady came from, what was actually going on, or if this was something that she was just remembering, or if this is something she actually experienced, or what it might be. But even though I don't know the end of that story, I do know that moment still sticks out to me. She's so distraught, so worried, confused and cold, and feeling like she does not deserve any help from anybody, even us who are ready and willing to give it. She felt like she hadn't earned it because of whatever may have happened to the point where she was okay to sit on that sidewalk for who knows how long. And that stuck with me. And perhaps it's a story that's maybe uncomfortably familiar. Not in the exact same situation, but perhaps with how we feel sometimes. We live in a culture that says you need to earn anything good, right? You have to strive for it. And in some situations, that's fine, right? You work for your wage, you earn your money, your living. That's a good thing. But what about those other things, right? You want approval. Well, you have to earn it. Be in the right friend group, dress the right way, say the right things, be cool enough, do this, do that, in order to earn that approval. Maybe you want respect, right? What are you doing to try and earn that respect, to work your way up the ladder? Or maybe you want love. Love. So you better be worth loving. How many of us is that something that we may or may not believe? You spend your lives searching for love and not realizing that, truthfully, love has already been offered, already given, already extended. And this is our Bible verse for today, Romans 5:8. It tells us God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the truth, the clearest truth that there is. Love was given before we even had a chance to earn it, a chance to deserve it, to prove ourselves worthy of it. Christ had already given it. But here's the struggle, and it's the same with the old lady, that we've been taught our whole lives that we need to earn anything good. And if we believe that God's love needs to be earned, well, then we'll never be able to receive what's already been given, because his love has already been given. But do you believe that? Do you believe that you have already received his love, that you don't need to strive to earn it? Now, that question of do you believe God's love is already given, it became very real, and I had to think through it myself just the other day. I was driving up Vancouver Island with a bunch of the interns from Camp Kwanos. We were doing a youth group promotional visit for summer camp stuff, and it's a bit of a drive, right? 2.5 hours, whatever it may be, all the way up there. And on the way back from that long drive, we're making our way down and just having good conversations. We're talking about God, talking about Bible, faith, and different stuff like that. And one of the interns, they ask a very, very thought-provoking question. They asked, hey, what are your guys' biggest faith struggles? I'm like, whoa, okay, that's a deep question, but that's a really good one. And I thought about it for a little bit, and after thinking about it for a bit, I admitted it wasn't necessarily the things I know or I don't know, but for me, it's truthfully, it's the disconnect between the truths I say I believe and the ones my heart actually rests in. Because my actions, they reveal a gap far more than my words could ever say. I say, yeah, I believe God's love is unconditional for us. I believe that we don't need to earn it or deserve it. But then my actions often prove something else. They prove that I don't actually believe it like I say I do. We do this, don't we? We say we believe God's love is enough, that we don't need to earn it. But then, I don't know. What do your actions show about what you actually believe? Maybe you look for fulfillment from how others view you more than how God views you and his love for you. You say he's a God that loves no matter what, but then maybe you go on and mess up, you sin, you do something that all of a sudden you feel like you can't go to God anymore. You avoid prayer, you look at the Bible with a sense of guilt because you feel like that thing that happened now separates you from God and the love that he has for you. Now that you've messed up, it feels like God's love is no longer available for you. You feel like you need to earn that closeness back with God. You need to do enough good things or give enough time before you can come back to him, before you can feel that and get connected with him, because you feel like you need to earn it. And if you're honest, there's times when you've believed in God's love with your mind, but not with your heart. Times when you felt like his love was just out of reach. And in those moments, it's hard to even see his love at all. Those moments where you've heard of God's love a million and one times, but in the darkest of days, you struggle to even catch a glimpse of it. Or when you find yourself, when you fail and you fall in sin yet another time, and you can't help but wonder how such a good and perfect God can still love me. Me. Such a broken, wretched sinner that I am. Or maybe you find yourself shaking on the cold, tear-stained floor of your bathroom, and the room feels so empty. so, so empty, an emptiness that convinces you that his love has slipped through the very cracks in the floor and has forgotten your very name. When we wonder when he'll finally give up on us, calling us a lost cause, walking away just like everyone else may have when they see that side of you. Even if you want to believe that his love is enough, and you try so hard to believe, in those dark moments, we can't quite see it, how his love is real, how his love is for us. Then what? How? How can you learn to accept a love so wonderful if there's a little bit of us that believes we need to earn it? Like the old lady who believed her actions didn't deserve any help from us. Well, if you're a believer and you hold the belief that the Bible is true, or even if you just look at the Bible and you see that there's some truth to it, I believe it is, well, then look at the truths in the Bible. Look at what it says about his love. Look and see these wonderful truths. For example, this beautiful verse here, Jeremiah 1:5. It's talking to the prophet Jeremiah, talking about how before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And yes, God is talking to Jeremiah, saying he set him apart as a prophet for the nations. But the same concept applies to us, the same way he knows us in our deepest way, before we were even born, he knows us. And picture that for a moment. Realize the significance of that, of how he is an infinite, an eternal, an everlasting God. He existed before all time and all creation. He will exist forevermore. His power is so wonderful, so magnificent that he spoke creation into being. And here he is saying he knows you before you were even born. Before he so carefully, preciously, and lovingly knitted you together in your mother's womb, he knew you. Your name, your favorite foods, the things you would do, the things that you would not do, and the ways you would mess up. He knows you. He loves you. He sees you. John 3:16. Beautiful verse, classic verse of talking about God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. His one and only son. Wow, what a sacrifice that is, hey? Significant one. But here God is. He looks at us. He sees us. He loves us to the point where he is willing to surrender his own son in place of us on the cross as a way to bridge us, and the gap between him and God. And he sends Jesus. And Jesus, he goes willingly. He shares that love. He wants us to be saved. And so he does that for us. Or Romans 8:39. This is a good one. This is a beautiful one here. It says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing at all can ever earn our way to love with God. And because of that, nothing we can ever do can separate our love from God. And of course, our Bible verse today, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Those are some of the biblical truths that speak of God's love, the power of it, the expanse of it, the reach of his love for us. You look at those verses and you see how it says we are known before the world. We are loved enough to receive an ultimate sacrifice. Nothing can separate us, and how God loved us even before we got it together. But you know, I said this may have been my hardest faith struggle, because hearing it is one thing. You hear it all the time, but believing it deeply and truly is a whole nother concept. right? Even when you want to believe this love, when you hear it, you're like, that sounds good. I want to believe that. When you've heard the verses, you memorized the words, you've sung the worship songs, there's still moments when our hearts struggle to catch up to the things that we say we believe. Moments where the truth of Scripture still feels distant. Moments where we say we trust God's love, yet our actions, they reveal a quiet belief that we still have to earn them. And that's the tension we live in, isn't it? God's truth says one thing, but our hearts often live a very different truth. Like the guilt-ridden old lady who I came across on the road, we hear the truth. That help is there, that love is there, but something inside us resists. And that gap between what we say we believe and what we actually believe, well, truthfully, that is where God wants to meet us, in that space there. Not once we finally get our belief together and say, yeah, we believe he loves us and you live it out, but even in those moments of struggle. So in those moments when we can't see his love, when the Bible's promises, they feel far and out of reach, when our actions, they don't necessarily line up to what we say we believe, what do? How do we draw those two together? Well, how do we move from knowing God loves us to actually receiving that love? This is where the Scriptures become more than just informative. They become an invitation for us. Because if you believe the Bible carries truth, then you'll wrestle with what that truth declares about you. And the answer isn't found in like a 5-step multi-year practice or maybe a silver bullet or that missing Bible verse. No, it comes down to a simple thing. It is a surrender of our doing and an acceptance of his gift. A sweet and beautiful surrender. And it might be at times there will be confusion and hardship. Yeah, we live in a very broken world. That's undoubtedly going to be the case. And it might mean you need to set aside your pride and be willing to accept someone else's help, be willing to accept his love for you, or maybe even sit in the discomfort of simply not knowing when you're confused and you don't know where his love is or you don't know how you can see it, just to rest in that space. But when you discover that all you need to do is open your heart to accept, even if you might not understand, then you'll stop striving to earn and simply be able to receive. Because we can never earn it in the first place, right? You know this. And if we try to earn it, if we try to strive to achieve it, you're going to spend a lifetime struggling to catch it, struggling to achieve, always feeling like you don't quite reach up. And yes, it's a lifelong journey, but not one of struggling and striving to try and earn it, but one of an eternal discovery of God's infinite nature and his everlasting love. And be reassured, too, that even if you don't feel the love, even if you don't know it right there in that moment, that even when you don't feel it, his love is true for you, even when we mess up, too. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we got it together. Not once we earned it or balanced the scales or made it right enough or proved ourselves, but while we were still sinners. And isn't that all of us? God didn't wait for you to get better, to clean yourselves up before he extended his love. He loved you at your worst, and nothing can undo this love that he has already proven on the cross. And I'll finish with this. God didn't wait for us to climb back up to him. He didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up or fix ourselves or finally get it right. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love was given before we could ever hope to earn it. So what do we do with a love like that? Well, you stop striving. You stop pushing forward. You stop carrying the burden of trying to prove yourself to God. And realize that he is already proven his love for us. And so, you simply come. You go to him. You surrender the idea that you have to earn his approval, and you receive what has already been given. And maybe for you, that's an invitation today for you to look and see and wonder, are you striving to earn his love? Are you waiting until you're good enough before you can receive it? Or do you need to realize that you need to stop running from a God who is not running from you? to stop believing the lie that your mistakes disqualify you from that love, to let his word be louder than your guilt, louder than your past, louder from than the voices that say you are too far gone, because the truth is, you are loved at your worst, and nothing you can do can undo the love he has already proven for you. So today, rest in that love. Walk in that love. And let that love shape the way you see God, the way you see yourself, the way you live your life, and the way you impact the people in the community around you. Not in earning or striving or trying to prove yourself, but in receiving fully and freely the love that God has already given you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. How beautiful it is, how strong it is, how faithful it is, and how available it is for us. But as we think about this and remember this and rest in those biblical truths, that we can see our hearts aligned with that truth, that we can learn to believe it, that we can come to a place where we can rest in it. Lord, that if this is a moment where we need to accept that fully and freely, that you can just bring us to that space. You can go with us in that and show it to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.